everyone. This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlob. I want to thank you for joining in on my third episode here. My last episode, I was talking about the end times and how Israel will be playing her part within it, along with the rest of the nations and America included. That was a brief synopsis of how God uses Israel in the past and how he is going to use her again here in the future. There's a lot more to it. I mean, there's a lot of meat to digest concerning this end times, especially with Israel and how the two prophets, the two witnesses, what part they will play and how the world itself is going to react to their message. Before I go into depth on the end times, I feel that I must give more of a foundation on where I'm coming from as a born-again child of God and what he has shown to me over the years. And there's many things that need to be shown about who God is and what he is doing in individual lives. You know, one of the main things I need to discuss is about the Godhead. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Are they an actual Trinity, or what exactly makes up God and who he is? And how does he fulfill his will and plan? What part does the angels play? These are foundational truths that we must be made aware of and know and experience in who God is before we can truly begin to see what he is doing in the present. There are other foundational truths that also I need to show and explain, especially the idea of predestination and how that plays a part. You know, there's many opinions on this subject of predestination. And the Calvinist, the Reformist, do we have a choice to play? This is a crucial piece to the puzzle. Also want to talk about, you know, the Garden of Eden, the fall, even the fall itself of creation back in the beginning. Also, you know, obviously the end times. What part are we going to play in the end times, the church today? This understanding of who we are and the power that we are going to be given is very needful for us to walk presently and also in the events to come. After this happens, what is the millennium? What is the purpose of the millennium? And then we have at the very end, we have the white throne judgment. What is this judgment all about? What's going to happen there? Is hell itself eternal? Is the lake of fire eternal? What part does the lake of fire play? So all these different foundational truths that are written in the Word of God that only have pieces shown to us in the Word, this is something that I want to expand upon and show and explain in what our living God is doing and what he has been doing all along. These things are called doctrines in the world today, in Christian world, but they're not doctrines. Doctrines themselves, there's no life in them. We serve a living God, and what this living God is doing is made up of many components. This is something that I think is a big difference between having some type of traditions and written down laws that people believe in and follow, rather than walking and following in the living and almighty God. On my website, youngmantheprophet.com, I do go more in depth on these foundational truths. Some I have to add to it. That's what I'm working on right now on my website. So if you want to go there, you can get a better understanding, maybe a deeper understanding of where I'm coming from. All right, so this episode here, I am going to speak on what it means to truly forgive. And there's two different forms of forgiveness. One is the forgiveness that is of the world, and other is the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that is of the world is what every one of us experiences. You know, we have all experienced it in our lifetime, but what most of us at this moment in time are still walking by, even the Christian world, and we're walking by this carnal forgiveness towards others rather than walking in the true forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ by the will of the Father. As I said in my first episode, you know, to truly believe and be born again in Almighty God, one must believe according to the faith that he has been given. You know, and the faith is we are to receive eternal life at this very moment, and we will experience the fullness of this once we are resurrected or raptured out of here. You know, and so the truth is we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, completely glorified in Him. That is our end point at this moment. This is what we are looking forward to. This is what our hope is based in. You know, we are going to be living with Almighty God for eternity. At this present moment, we're not experiencing this. We're not experiencing the full value and hope that we are looking forward to. But that doesn't mean it's not true. And that is the trial that we must walk according to, which perfects our faith. So our faith should be telling us that we are eternal in Jesus Christ, that we are without sin. Once we do receive our glorified bodies, we're not going to be standing there in sin. We're not going to have any sin. So that is the faith that we should be living by now, that we are without sin, no matter what the physical is telling us, no matter what our physical bodies are doing. You know, we are to walk according to the faith that we are without sin in Christ, eternal in the heavens. And to walk according to this faith, then at some point it will manifest. Our physical body will begin to line up with this truth, especially obviously at the rapture or the resurrection, where our body will completely cast off all corrupted works, including death itself. So if that is the truth, that we are without sin in Christ, then that should be our outlook towards others. And we should look at others as, according to the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that they themselves can experience this same exact work. We are to operate according to that. That should be our judgment towards all mankind. And the judgment is they themselves can be freed if they believe. The carnal judgment is, well, look what you're doing. You're doing these sins. Well, obviously, we all have done these same things, and some of us may still be doing these same things. But the truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated these things. So our judgment should be according to that. We should look at all things according to the freedom that comes in Christ, because only He is the one that can free us. We haven't done it ourselves. So the idea when you judge someone else, so why can't you just stop doing these things? Obviously, you haven't seen within yourself that it's not you that has freed you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is His forgiveness. I'm going to go in depth more in a second here. First, the carnal forgiveness, though, that mankind walks according to is this. So someone commits a sin against me, commits a wrong against me. Now, in this natural world, you either accept that or you raise up against it and you judge that person. Now, the acceptance is this. You're not actually forgiving that person. You're actually agreeing with what they have done to restore a relationship back with them. So you are partaking in their sin itself so that you can now once again be okay with this person. If you don't do that, then there's a judgment there. And that judgment is always going to be condemnation towards them. So you either accept the person for what they have done and you become a partaker with them in that, which includes everything else behind the scene, the spiritual realm that has caused this person to do these things, or you rise up in judgment against them and now you are on the other side of it and you are partaking in a murder against them in your heart. You know, so this is the carnal judgment of mankind and forgiveness of mankind. You're not actually forgiving the person of what they have done. And a prime example of this, if you want to use scripture, is in the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, Eve commits a transgression against Adam, against herself and Adam. And now, what does he do? Now, he could have cast her out. He could have judged her for that. But rather than doing that, he became a partaker in her sin. And he performed the same act as she did. And that's what we all do. We all do from birth on. This is our interaction with everyone. We create these works, and the only way to deal with these works is to either accept them and become a partaker in these works ourselves, or create a new work of judgment and judge that person. But the sin is always there. The work is always there. The judgment is always there. Nothing is ever done with it. You only add to it. You know, and that's why there's so many problems within marriages, within society itself, within countries, nations, harboring resentments for what other generations have done to them. Whereas we are in the present moment You know, the judgment is presently. Have we done something to someone else, or has someone else done something to us? There's no answer in this carnal life. You're never going to fix these problems because you're only adding to. You're never taking away. You're always adding something to. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' hour is a prime example of this. You know, they were in sin. They didn't know it, but they were in sin. And so what they did was they added to or covered up this sin by being self-righteous, by adding judgment upon judgment to themselves and also towards others. And that's what the carnal Christian does today. They haven't experienced the forgiveness of sin themselves. And so they view everyone according to their own experience of not having received forgiveness. And so they judge carnally. You know, they don't have the power to do anything otherwise. So that is a very brief understanding of the carnal forgiveness. Whereas now the forgiveness that is of Jesus Christ is completely different. What Jesus Christ himself brings is when he forgives someone, he comes in and removes these things. Removes the desire to do the sin that you have done, removes the power behind the scene that causes you to do these things that you're not even aware of. So the big difference is the carnal judgment is the sin is never dealt with. It's just added to cover up or to deal with it, to restore relationship back with someone else or even yourself, to restore a relationship back with yourself. Whereas the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ, it's not an adding to. It is a removal of. The sin itself is being dealt with. The very roots of the sin is being dealt with. His power of the death, burial, and resurrection, he applies that work to our spirit, and our spirit begins to be transformed into that. So the sin that we have done in our past life, it begins to be undone, begins to regress back into our spirit. So, and that includes the judgment, that includes the condemnation. So as this work happens in a person's life, their vision towards themselves and towards creation itself and those around them begins to clear up. They no longer have this hatred and judgment towards others. And not only that, the sin itself, the desire to do these works is decreasing and ceasing to exist. So when they look at others, they will begin to see differently when someone does something to them that what they have experienced, this one that has transgressed against them needs to experience also. And because they are experiencing this, now they have that same power that's giving them life to do these things in themselves. They can now give this unto others. You know, that's where Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his apostles, he's saying, you have the power to either retain someone's sin or to let it go. This is the power of the church. We have the power to release someone from their sin. That is what the true love is about. It is the love of Jesus Christ is a powerful message that comes into a person's life, and it causes them to experience exactly what you're experiencing, a complete release from your sin. And obviously, the person that has experienced this knows within them that it hasn't been themselves. You know, they have experienced the carnal forgiveness of stuff in their past life, and now they're experiencing this new work from Jesus Christ that is removing their sin, complete polar opposite, complete. So they know through this experience that it's not them, that it is given to them by the grace of God. And so when they minister unto others, they also know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ doing this also. They won't receive the glory. It's the glory of Almighty God. You know, he is the one that will receive the glory for this. You know, and this is what it means to preach the gospel, to preach the forgiveness of sin. When Jesus was here on earth and he came in contact with sinners and ones that knew they were sinners, other than not the Pharisee side, but the sinners themselves, when he would say, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more, it wasn't just some saying he was saying. He was speaking to the spirit within them and commanding that spirit within them to no longer do these things. And so the spirit within them obeyed. This is how the power of Almighty God works. We are his subjects. We're not in some type of kingdom that is controlled by us. God controls us. He is the one that is in control of all these things. And so when he commands something to happen, it happens. The lukewarm version is we have this power, we can do whatever we want and all this stuff. No, that's not the case. It is the power of God and what he wants done as the creator. And so it will come to pass. You know, and so when Jesus Christ would tell a person, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more, that meant exactly what he said. He was commanding that spirit within them to no longer sin, and they were freed from their sin. This forgiveness is a crucial thing within a born-again child of God. They must experience the difference between who they used to be and this new life that comes from Jesus Christ. There has to be a difference. There has to be something they experience. There has to be a power that has completely transformed them. And until that comes to pass, one can't do anything other than carnally forgive. This is the display that God is in control of this. You can't do nothing. This whole entire world cannot do nothing unless God commands something to happen. And when he does command it, it will happen right then, presently. You know, it's not something that we ourselves can hurry up or slow down. It's something that will come to pass exactly when he wants it to come to pass. To take this in a different direction real quick, you know, this being in church and a preacher who is called to have a congregation, he must be given the power himself, first of all, to experience what it means to be forgiven of his sin. There has to be something that's happened where that sin itself has been dealt with. You know, he no longer does the things that he does. And so when he has a congregation, he is in control of that congregation. They belong to him. They have submitted themselves to this pastor, to his preaching, to his teaching, to the spirit behind him. So he holds captive his congregation. And the same work that has changed his life will permeate throughout his congregation. You know, so if he truly has experienced the born again experience and the forgiveness of sin, then his whole congregation is going to experience this. Period. It is the truth of it. Now, if someone doesn't want to be a partaker of it, they're going to be driven out. The spirit within that preacher is going to drive them out. But the ones that are there are going to experience this life-changing event. Now, tell me, where is this happening in the world today in these churches? These churches are in a horrible mess. Horrible. They do not line up with a born-again experience. You know, we have the scriptures that shows exactly what it means to experience the Spirit of the Lord. They are, in this beginning church, completely transformed. They no longer do the things they do. Yes, there is examples within the churches of Corinth and different other experiences within the Acts, Book of Acts, where you do have sinners that are there. But all these things are to show us a different image, a different angle from what Almighty God is doing within the whole church as a large. But the overall theme within the New Testament is this truly new born again experience that the Old Testament was not experiencing. That is what we have to go on. That is what we must believe in until it comes to pass in our lives. So this was on the difference between carnal forgiveness that the world itself is operating by constantly, that they can't do anything other than that, and also what all religions are doing at this moment, that their own works can free them. You know, and really what it is you are built up on sin after sin, judgment after judgment, and in the end, none of it matters because your foundation hasn't been changed. It's going to be shooken, and everything that's on that foundation that is not made of Christ is going to be destroyed. And that's where we find most of the church today, built upon the sand rather than the true experience of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness that comes in and completely overhauls a person's life, where they have a new outlook now. They're not who they used to be. And it's not something they have to try to do. It's something that they love, they enjoy, and it's filled with power. You know, tremendous power to go forward and to be a witness of this experience in Jesus Christ for the world to not only see, but be transformed according to. Because we're all at some point going to experience the complete removal of this sin, whether it's in this life or at the resurrection or at the great throne judgment, being thrown into the lake of fire. It's going to be dealt with. My next few podcasts, like I say, I want to get in depth about the Godhead. Is God really three persons in one? I mean, is that really the case? The whole Trinitarian doctrine is we'll never really understand it. This is what they say. Well, according to the scriptures, according to God's written word, to have eternal life is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So absolutely we can know who God is. It's just that they don't have the correct understanding of who God is. And predestination, understanding of being predestinated in Christ. This is also something I want to talk about. Like I said, the millennium and everything else that comes along with this end time event. And this is where I really want to focus on, you know, in the upcoming weeks and months, however long God wills it for me to continue this podcast. If you are interested in knowing more about who I am, you can go to my website, which is youngmantheprophet.com, and you can click on the About page or the Sermon page, whatever you want to listen to there or read there. You can. I'm going to continue to work on my webpage too, giving more of an understanding of what I believe. And also, I do want to give a testimony of what I've experienced in Jesus Christ. Maybe I'll do that on a podcast too. So that is the end of this third episode. I thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to what the Lord has put in my heart. May the Lord Jesus Christ plant these words in your heart, and may you produce fruits of the forgiveness of sin. Until next time, this is Young Man the Prophet Podcast with Matthew Espinlop signing off. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you, and may he lead the elect to his salvation.